prayers today. I want to try to share with you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. If you would like to read along with me in the reading lesson today, I'd ask you to turn your Bibles to the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. And I want to begin a reading lesson with verse 22. Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 22. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." And yes, folks, that really happened. "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." You know, I just believe that if someone came walking on the sea and told me something, I'd be encouraged to listen to that person, wouldn't you? Amen. Walking on the water. "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased." And I'll stop reading there with verse 32. Now, I want to share a verse with you that's found in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. There was a time that Jesus fulfilled one of the prophecies that he fulfilled that Isaiah spoke of him. We have record of in the fourth chapter of Luke. Jesus had gone into the synagogue there in Nazareth, and they had brought the book to him, and the Bible tells us here how that he had read to them from the writings of Isaiah, and he told them that this day this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, I am the fulfillment of what Isaiah wrote about. And the Bible says in verse 20 of Luke chapter 4, it says, "And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." And I want to use the thought that's in that verse as the thought that I would like to bring before you here today. and that being all eyes fastened on Jesus. And as those people were years ago, during the time that Christ walked up on the earth and went into the synagogue there in Nazareth, where he was brought up and read to them from the writings of the prophet Isaiah. And that day all the eyes of the people were all fastened on him. That's exactly what we ought to be doing today. Amen. Every eye on Jesus. Now I know that he's not physically with us like he was there with them that day many, many years ago in Nazareth in a synagogue, but he is still with us, isn't he? Amen. And we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. As God's people, we can't afford to do anything but that. We must stay focused. We must keep our eyes on the one that we're serving, and we must keep our eyes and our focus on the things that he has left us here to do. Amen. The work of the Lord is too important for us to do anything but that. Now, I want to ask you something today, and I want you to ponder this question. We certainly need to think about it. Every church needs to think about this question. And I believe that in the individual life of every child of God, individually, we need to think about this question, because I believe that there is a question to be asked in what I have read before you today from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And that is, do you want to be walking on the water with Christ, or do you want to have the waves wrapped around you? Do you want to be in the water, or do you want to be on the water? Because I really believe that what determined that for the Apostle Peter was what he chose to do. And so I want you to think about that. And you know, the Bible tells us, if we look in the Hebrew letter, the Bible tells us that what we need to do, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, wherefore seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now the Hebrew writer had written in the 11th chapter about all these things through the years that the people of God had accomplished by placing their faith in the Lord. And seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Well, how do we do that? How do we run with patience the race that's set before us? Well, he tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you know, when I read these verses, the Lord gave me a thought, and I got a great blessing. I mean, the Lord just really blessed my heart in this. When I thought about what the Hebrew writer said here concerning Jesus, you know, I have here the last two Sundays, I have preached about the sufferings of Christ and what he did for us in order for us to be saved, what he did that we may have a way back to God, and all the things. And Brother Durant downstairs this morning was talking about the things that the scriptures tell us, even in the Old Testament writings, about how that Christ suffered for us. And when I thought about this, I thought about, you know, I'm thankful today that when the Lord was going through all that, when he was suffering all that he did in order for us to be saved, I'm thankful that he was able to have some joy in that. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if we will keep our eyes on the Lord, if we'll stay focused and keep our eyes fastened on Jesus, we will be able to have joy in the Lord even in the midst of the hardest of trials. Amen. Jesus, all that he was going through, the Bible says for the joy that was set before him, he was able to endure the cross and despise the shame. He could see, he could look ahead and he could see what would result from his sufferings. He could see ahead to all those that through the things that he did, through the offering of himself, those that would be able to come to God and have eternal life. Amen. That's joy, isn't it? That's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so we need to keep our eyes fastened on the Lord. And I looked that word up. What was the Bible really telling us when it says the eyes of all of them there in the synagogue were fastened on him? And that word means that they were gazing intently upon him. They had their eyes set upon him. They were beholding him earnestly. I mean, they were really, we may put it this way, he had their attention. And you know, the Lord deserves our attention, doesn't he? And I'll tell you what, there is not anybody that's more pleasant to look upon than the Lord. You won't find anybody or anything any better to keep your eyes on than to keep your eyes upon Jesus. You know, I love the song that was written, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." You know, when Stephen was being put to death, when he was being, when they were gnashing on him with their teeth, what did he do? He turned his eyes upward to Jesus. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and I believe that certainly that enabled him to go through what he was facing. And so, yes, when we look at him, when we turn our eyes up on Jesus, then the things of the earth, the things of the world, the things that the Hebrew writer said so easily beset us, disappear. They grow strangely dim, don't they? Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe in the 14th chapter of Matthew. Given the language that we have in these verses, that when the Apostle Peter made his request of Jesus, that he too might be able to step out on the water, that he might be able to come to Jesus on the water. And when the Lord granted him that, when the Lord told him that he could, I am persuaded to believe from what we are told here that when Peter stepped out of that boat onto that water, that he was gazing intently upon Jesus. He was looking at Jesus. I believe that he had his eyes fastened on the Lord. If he wouldn't have, he wouldn't have made it an inch. And the reason I say that is because the Bible tells us that when he began to look around, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and then he began to sink. And so that tells me that he, at the beginning, when he was able to walk on the water, that he was looking at the Lord. And that's exactly what we need to do. You know, listen, the Lord left us here to do his work, didn't he? He left us here to do, to carry out the commission that he gave to the church. He left us here to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature and to maintain his ordinances and to teach people to observe all the things that he has commanded. The Lord left us here to do the work of Christ. And listen, there of all of the industry, of all that goes on in the world around us from day to day, and you know, much that goes on is very important to our natural well-being. It's very important. The work that goes on around us is very important to sustain us as a people from a natural state. If people don't eat, they'll starve to death, or don't work, they'll starve to death, won't they? Paul said, you don't work, you don't eat. It's very important. But I'll tell you, nothing is as important as the work of the Lord's church. Amen. Nothing. There's a world, listen, there's a world full of people. Now, if you ask them, they don't realize it, but we need to realize it. There's a world full of people who are lost and separated from God and on their way to eternal damnation, that they need the people of God to keep their eyes upon Jesus. If we don't do that, if we don't stay focused, the next thing you know, we won't be of any use to anybody. We won't. What do you suppose the water there symbolizes? What's the proper analogy here? What does it mean? Well, I believe it represents anything that causes us to take our eyes off the Lord. Anything in life, no matter what it is. You know, the devil is a master of distraction. And he doesn't like anything more than to distract the people of God from what we are here to do. And he will put, lay out his best evil plan to do that very thing. He will try to get in among us and cause division and cause everything that he can to distract us, to take our minds and our focus away from what we are here to do. The devil doesn't like it when we look at Jesus. He doesn't like it when our eyes are fastened upon the Lord. He wants our eyes to be fastened upon him and upon the world. He knows, the devil knows that as long as we have our eyes fastened on Jesus, as long as we're looking at Jesus, we're going to get some things done. We'll be able to run the race, folks. as long as we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so, what do you like? What do you like? Do you like being on top of the water? Or do you like sinking in the water? You know, I think actions speak louder than words. And I think sometimes, you know, you're just forced to make the assessment that there evidently are some of God's people that would rather be in the water than walking on top of the water, because that seems to be where they spend the majority of their time, just wrapped up in the things of the world, distracted by the things of the world. That's where they spend their time. And so you just have to make the assessment that that must be what they've chosen. That must be what they like. It's not what the Lord wants. He would have us all to turn our eyes upon Him. You ever walked on the water? Oh, I bet you have. I bet there's been those times in your life where you were able, by the help of God, to turn your eyes to Jesus. You were able, by the help of God, to just steadfastly behold Him. And there were those, have been those little times along the way that you know what it means to walk on the water. But I dare say that too many of us have spent too much time in the same condition that the Apostle Peter was in. One minute we're walking on the water, one minute we're looking at Jesus as we walk on the water, and the next thing you know, we've got the water all around us and we're begging the Lord to pull us out. Well, why are we in there in the first place? Well, I believe we all know why Peter was, don't we? He took his eyes off the Lord. He took his eyes off the Lord. He lost his focus. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. We cannot be successful without the Lord. We cannot be successful as a Christian individually. We cannot live a life that will please the Lord without His help. We cannot be successful in the Lord's work as a church without the help of the Lord. Jesus told His disciples, "Without me, ye can do nothing." That was true then. That's true now. We can't do anything. We won't accomplish anything that will be of any eternal benefit to anyone without the help of Jesus. And we will not get the job done unless we keep our eyes upon Him. Unless we stay focused. Let us lay aside every weight. Paul was talking about in the Hebrew letter, he was talking about running a race. Running a race. Not a sprint, a marathon, a long race, a lifetime race, running a race. He said, "Let us lay aside every weight." You ever seen runners go out to run? You ever seen anybody when they're starting one of the big marathons? You ever seen anybody go out to run the Boston Marathon, and when they're getting ready to start, they say, "Oh, wait a minute, I forgot my barbells. Wait a minute, I forgot this 100-pound weight that I want to carry with me." People run a race as light as they can, don't they? As light as they can. Let us lay aside every weight. Listen, when we run the race, we don't need to take with us things to weigh us down, do we? Amen. We don't need to just intentionally take up on ourselves things that will be heavy to us, things that will hinder us in the race. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Listen, when we're looking at Jesus and we see the things in our life that don't look like Him, the best thing to do is just get rid of them. Just get rid of them. If it doesn't resemble Christ, get rid of it. I'm telling you, and I believe that maybe I should say I'll remind you, because I believe we know it. It's just better on top of the water. It is. The Apostle Peter, it says, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He walked. I don't know how many steps he took. We're not told. But I do know that for some distance, he walked on the water. The Lord enabled him to do that, to walk on the water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. And he cried, Lord, save me. Take your eyes off of the Lord, and you'll begin to sink. We will. We just can't make it without Him, without His help. And so I would encourage us to, you know, let's pray for each other. Let's pray for that the task that we have set before us, because, you know, as I said, the race that's set before us as God's people is much more important than any of the marathon. It's more important than the Boston Marathon. The race that we have to run, the work that we have to do, is the most important of any that's in the world, because it deals with eternal things. It deals with the eternal welfare of immortal, eternal souls. It does. And we must not allow anything to distract us from that. Nothing. We must keep our eyes on the Lord and stay focused on His work. And that's the thought that the Lord gave me to share today. I'll tell you what, it is so easy for any of us, for any individual, for any church, it is so easy to take your eyes off the Lord. It's difficult to stay focused. It's difficult to keep your eyes on the Lord. It's so easy for us to look around, just like Peter did, to look around, and the next thing you know, we've lost sight of the one that we ought to be looking at. May we be like, may Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church be like those people that day long ago in that synagogue, and have our eyes fastened upon Jesus. Brother Strode.